Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, it's time to Fast Forward. Welcome to the future of almost everything in Wisconsin on the upswing. Joining WTMJ's Jeff Sherman, here's Steve Glenn and Martin Moore.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. The future of almost everything. That's Thursdays here on The Upswing, specifically for today's show. You know, I was thinking the other day, I'm like, I need to have our wonderful guests that take time out of their days each and every Thursday and really throughout the whole week to put this show together. We need to do a little deep dive into who Steve Glenn is and who Martin Moore is. So we're going to open the show, get you a little bit of a personality vibe into what Steve Glenn is doing and all the wonderful things he has done in this community. Then we're going to talk about soft skills in the workplace, moods and vibes in local retailers and businesses, razors. Yes, razors. Why are they always locking them up in our drugstores and retailers? And if we have some time, the future of Walmart, your local Walmart, it's becoming probably pretty soon a little bit more like Trader Joe's. But first, an exciting day for the future of women's volleyball, for sure. Good Karma Brands announced that the company's heritage sports talk station, ESPN Madison, is the home for UWM women's volleyball, and all home games are going to air on 100.7 ESPN in Madison and right here at 620 WTMJ in Milwaukee. Truly exciting women's sports powering through, and the team is wonderful. And I have a lot of friends who are just huge volleyball fans, so this is amazing, not only for the station and the company, but for women's sports and all sports as a whole. So we truly look forward to that. All right, let's get right into it. Steve Glenn is the Chief Milwaukee Officer at Experience Milwaukee and Text MKE, recently named the CMO at MISO. As well. So you're just all over in terms of the creative space in Milwaukee. But give us the Steve Glenn origin story.
Yeah, and I appreciate this. And I'm getting smiles from Martin over here on the attention. And so, Jeff, thanks for teeing it up. I hope I've had an impact on this community with the various companies, initiatives, work I do here. And a lot of people, I'm fortunate a lot of people know some of those stories. What most people don't know is where it all started. And so I appreciate this, the kind of the platform here today.
Yes.
And it's going to tie directly into a lot of the topics here, especially the soft skill side that I push with some of the young people in Milwaukee that I work with. But so I'm born and raised in Milwaukee.
Okay.
And MPS grad,
all
proud
right.
MPS grad. I grew up in a single parent, low income household. My dad was in prison my entire life. And so when I finally navigated through that process and figured out college, when I was graduating from Milwaukee School of Engineering, I noticed something. All my peers were inheriting a professional network from their parents, something I did not have.
Hmm.
So my life's work in this city has been around creating that network. Not for me to leverage, not for me to use, for me to share, for me to help others shorten their curve and accelerate their growth.
Building connections, creating organizations that help us all, I don't know, not only be better selves for us, but to give back. And
right.
That's what I always appreciated about you, Steve.
Thank you.
You bring people together in a really strategic way, and it's based in who you are.
Yeah. And it comes from that, and I've just started in literally over the past month or so telling that story more often, more intentionally, because, and not to get the, I can't, right. And there were, the odds were I was going to end up doing a lot of other things than what I actually did, but it's to say and come around and say, this is why I do the work I do today, because I appreciate where I come from, I understand where I come from, and how I can help other people who come from that same place.
Building community, believing in the power of good. That's what we're doing here on The Upswing. When we come back, and next week, We're going to open the show with the Martin Moore story.
For that.
So that's God.
I cannot wait.
The listeners don't want to hear me yap about.
Soft skills are all the buzz. We're going to dive into the top 10 soft skills in the workplace. This is The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, and you are listening to WTMJ. I'm getting in. Welcome back to The Upswing, the future of almost everything, the future of soft skills in our lives, in our work lives, in our personal lives. Talking with Steve Glenn and Martin Moore, nothing constant but change in the workplace. Mm-hmm. A recent Business Journal feature says this, in the ever-evolving workplace landscape, the shift is underway that is redefining what companies value most in potential job candidates. Recent analysis shows technical skills once were supreme, right? That's what you put on your resume. That's what got you in the door. Today, employers are placing a premium on soft skills, non-technical skills that relate to how you work, how you think. They include how you interact with coworkers, solve problems, manage workflow. How do you define soft skills today, Martin?
Oh man, I'm writing stuff down.
I have a friend, Erica Conway, who describes it as your frosting.
Ah.
Where Jeff, you mentioned the sort of the hard technical skills that are just table stakes, right?
You assume
you have those.
You got those through your education, yeah. Through your training,
right.
Through what you do. You're coming to the table with those anyway.
Yeah. But what makes you you, and what, as Martin was saying in the break, is super hard to describe on a resume, is your frosting.
Hmm.
So
I always describe soft skills as, and if you're not a Bucks fan, then you're not going to understand this analogy. Like you look at someone like Andre Jackson Jr. And when he's on the court, you know, you watch all 82 games and you can see what he brings to the team and the table and the court that completely changes the team's attitude and their cadence. And though what he brings is not something you're going to see on like the next day stat board, or they're going to be, you know, that you can put on a LinkedIn bio or a resume. And so to me, that's what soft skills are, you know, communication skills, confidence and competence that you bring. Time management is a huge one. There's so many people out there that are just not time efficient when they're in the workplace or doing whatever it is they do. problem solving is another huge one. Problem solving is something that you just, that's a tough thing to teach. And so a lot of those intangibles for me are the soft skills that are, in my opinion, way more valuable than what you learn in college.
Well, that's a wonderful point. As we look to the future of work, we are in it right now. Whose mm-hmm. responsibility is it to teach these soft skills?
Right.
Is it parents? Is it educators? Is it, oh, once you join the company, we're going to give you this training so that your soft skills get any better? Is it all of the above?
Sure. I mean, you have to have those skills to begin with to teach them. And so, and that's the thing is those aren't skills that you learn in school and then, or college or whatever, and then like you can go teach a class on it. There has to be someone in your organization or your brand or your company that has those skills. And then is one, can recognize that they even have them. And then two, be willing to teach them and be, because a lot of things are, it's tough to teach, and because a lot of it is you have to be critical of the way that someone talks or thinks or goes about their day. And in order to get someone to change some of those soft skills, you really have to be one, have the ability to teach that kind of stuff in a way that isn't, you know, condescending.
Yeah.
And then you also have to be willing to take some of that information and feedback and apply it to whatever it is that you're doing.
And being truly cognizant that everyone learns in different ways.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really important.
I find the best teachers are the most vulnerable, or people who are able to get vulnerable with other people.
Mm.
And, you know, you sort of come meet them where they are.
To identify the top 10 soft skills with greatest demand, CashNet USA looked at more than 17 million job listings on Indeed. And they focused on roles in the top 25% of the wage bracket. So, you know, we're looking at higher income here.
Sure.
But to see what the employers were looking for in job candidates, they came up with this list. The first, strategic thinking. Martin, you mentioned
that.
Strategic thinking
one.
Is really high on the list for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely stands out in winners and really good candidates. But again, how do you truly define strategic thinking when you're going through the process?
Right.
I mean, you kind of it's a trial by error. And knowing that you can fail through the process is
really good because it gets you to the success point.
Sure.
Negotiation, mm-hmm. persuasion, presentation skills, and critical thinking. Whose job is it to teach us how to be a critical thinker?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I mean, all the soft skills that I've learned from everything that I've done, and I've dabbled in a lot of things. I mean, I tried to pass that along to people, people that come on the radio. Like, I talk about this all the time on the radio. The skills that I've learned, the communication skills and the ability to think quickly, that's a huge one. Someone asks you a question that you know or don't know the answer, and to be able to answer immediately without just sitting there thinking about it, that's a skill. That's not something you can teach. And so, like, that's something that I learned on the radio, to be able to be able to articulate and think quickly and say something that has substance. That's a skill, and I try to pass that on to people that, you know, come on the radio or do speaking engagements. And so I think it's one of those things where if you recognize you have a particular skill set, to teach that to people that you think are sort of kind of like are picking your brain and wanting to learn that same sort of thing, and just, I don't know, kind of giving them some tips and feedback.
When we come back after the break, we will continue our discussion on soft skills. Should soft skills be encouraged, even if someone isn't good at it? Well, let's talk about doctors a little bit and bedside manners. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Bedside manners. He's not Tom Jones, lives next door. He's not the king of bedside manners. Welcome back to The Upswing, the future of almost everything, with Steve Glenn and Martin Moore. Soft skills and how they're taking over and how we can all learn from them. I've always thought that there are three desires of all people: to be connected, to be seen, and to be who we are. But as we encourage and really just dive into soft skills in the corporate and especially the healthcare space, sometimes you have to deliver tough news. And you have to be strict and you have to be to the point, but you also have to have really good bedside manners.
Mm-hmm.
How do those two come together?
That's tough. I go back to when you were both were talking about your list of soft skills.
Yeah.
Mine are patience, empathy, and kindness.
Mm.
And I think if we deployed that more often, you're going to have great bedside manner in the office and in the doctor's office.
Yeah. And I'll admit, I have to work on all three of those each and every day. And I fail each and every day, but I learn from every interaction, I hope.
Yeah.
Some people will say, no, you don't, Jeff, but that's okay. You know, that's what we have to do. And if you're cognizant about it, that is step number one.
Absolutely.
That we all need to be here for.
Self-awareness and number one for me, soft skill.
Empathy is a tough thing because, you know, we all have our own things, whether it's health related or money related or relationship related. And a lot of times we're in our own world, in our own zone. And it's hard to be empathetic towards other people when you're in certain stressful, anxious situations.
Yeah.
But man, it goes a long way in your family life, your personal relationships, the work environment, just random people, in your community. Empathy, in my opinion, is one of the most powerful human traits that you could possibly indulge in and participate in from the second you wake up till you go to bed.
Yeah. Well, and especially in markets this size, I think empathy comes through mentoring. Mm. And mentoring is so incredibly important in the corporate culture and education culture, elementary schools, wherever you're at. So learning to be a good mentor, but also learning to be a mentee. And how that relationship builds, I think, it is paramount.
Right on. Yeah. I think that goes to your point, and whose job is it to teach these things? It's all of our jobs.
It is.
Exactly.
We're a community.
Yeah. The other on the list of soft skills, mentoring, as I just mentioned, mm-hmm. emotional awareness, so awareness, self-regulation, empathy, and mm-hmm. social skills. Innovation is now a soft skill. Which I thought was interesting that it made
like innovative
skill.
Thinking. Or?
Yeah, I think
do I need to like come up with a bunch of patents or something like that?
I think it goes along the lines of creativity, innovation, and creativity. Financial management was number 9 on a soft skill. So when you think, wow, you have to know all sides of the business when you go into it, or at least be aware of it.
Teach kids in high school now? Is there like a finance class? like personal finance, you about like Roth IRAs and saving and not doing what I do and throwing pennies in the garbage? Like,
not,
do they teach that
not
to
as
kids?
Much as they should. Yeah, I don't know if it's you're that probably lucky if you catch that.
That is shocking.
Yeah. Personal finance now is being taught more and more in the elementary schools
good.
And throughout the state of Wisconsin. Our sixth grader had to do a personal budget for a family trip.
Love it.
And it was great. You know, they got to pick things. They got to go into hotels.com and find rooms and just put together a budget and bring it back to the family and say, hey, can we do this? And that's a wonderful exercise to go through at any age.
There's some really cool apps that that are out right now where the parents were like, they can have they can pay their kids. The kids get like a little debit card. And then as they do chores and things, parents can deposit money in their savings account. And then they can like earn interest and just all these really cool things that teach kids about money. That's a huge skill.
Yeah, without a doubt. And finally, the number 10 on the soft skills list, resilience and the ability to bounce back. Mm. And again, it's hard to say like, wow, is that a soft skill? Because you just get that from learning and going through life,
sure.
Right?
I definitely think that's a skill that you learn throughout life. I don't know that I would consider that a soft skill. That's one of those that you learn throughout, you know, 10, 20 years of your early adult life. To be able to realize that failure is the best teacher, you know? Like, I love failing.
If you're lucky.
Very rarely do I ever remember any of my successes, but I remember all my failures.
And hopefully you learn from them and
100%.
Take something out of
nothing
them.
Nothing will teach
and
you
and make
more.
The next one even better. That's what you do, Martin Moore. That's what it is all about. When we come up back from the break, the future of vibe, energy, and flow in local businesses and how it is created. There's some wonderful, amazing national companies that are doing some really cool innovation in this area. Welcome back to the Upswing. Honoring those who dedicate their lives to keeping us safe. WTMJ is highlighting first responders who went above and beyond this past year through Steve Scafidi's Salute to Service, presented by Waterstone Bank and sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. You can nominate your first responder now at WTMJ.com or on the WTMJ mobile app. The nomination period is open now through May 10th. Finalists will be recognized during Hero Week, May 20th through the 24th. Help us tell your story, Steve Scafidi's Salute to Service, presented by Waterstone Bank and sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Spontaneity. Soft skill? Something you embrace, Martin Moore?
Absolutely.
Yes?
In
all aspects of your life, professional and
100%.
Personal?
He's heading to the airport right after this.
Yeah, I was saying on the break, I'm one of those people that would be like at the end of a work day and I'd be like, you know what? I feel like going to Omaha, Nebraska and just like packing a bag, going, getting a ticket and going. Like I love being spontaneous.
Does that pay off in your creativity?
Yeah, I think
for
so.
For me, it does.
Spontaneity is just another word for freedom. And it gives being spontaneous really gives me a freedom in life to sort of do what I want, dabble in what I want, go where I want, try what I want, and I really enjoy that the ability to have that kind of freedom. Because a lot of people are you know, they kind of box themselves in, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, that's just never been something I've been able to subscribe to.
I wonder how can organizations and workplaces embrace spontaneity and kind of personal preference in terms of how we all like to work. I mean, you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think a lot of it might sound stupid, but like those office activities, like when people do I'm not saying like, hey Steve, lean backwards and I promise I'm going to catch you, but like
trust fall.
Yeah, like work.
I wouldn't do it.
Right. But like when they go on like work outings and they do like all that team building stuff, in getting the team to do something they might not otherwise do. It doesn't have to be like water skiing or rock climbing, but get them to do something, force them to do something that to them may feel sort of spontaneous and see if they get a bug up their butt and be like, you know what? I want to try and do this or whatever. Like I remember when I went to Mexico and we went like an ATVing excursion. I never did excursions on trips and I was like, it like unlocked something for me. I was like, dude, this is dope. And ever since then I would go on excursions, zip lining or diving or whatever it was. And so I think once you unlock that in your brain, It's a game changer, and I think you can do that as a business for your employees. Yeah.
I think flexibility in an organization is definitely a vibe companies are trying to go for right now. Yeah. I know we're going to talk about that. And what I love about the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra right now in working there is if the vibe isn't right, go find the creative vibe where you think it might feel right. And so to be able to be spontaneous in work and what's going to produce the best results, I think, is a key for employers.
Very good. Well, that's exactly where we wanted to go next, is talk about background music in local retail and local establishments. You know, today, background music is pretty much gone. As you walk through the aisles, it's now front-facing foreground music. There's a national company called Mood Media that's basically in the modern-day equivalent business of the old-school Muzak. Remember that soothing ambiance, elevator music that was piped into places? Even kind of programmed to kind of rev up or dial down the heartbeats of office workers. So when we come back from the break, we'll talk about mood music, good lighting, soft colors, intelligent layout. And I want to see where in Wisconsin are they doing this in the right way. This is The Upswing. It's the future of almost everything with Steve Glenn and Martin Moore. I'm Jeff Sherman, and you are listening to WTMJ.
Vibe check. Big vibe, they call it.
Acunet Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS ID 255368.
Just another manic Monday.
Just another manic Thursday here. The future of almost everything.
I love this song.
With Steve Monday's Glenn my favorite and day Martin of the week. Moore. Mondays are always great.
My favorite day of the week.
Every day is a
great
day.
I love every day,
Martin.
But Monday is a great day.
Monday's the best day.
Get back at it.
Proof with that sound right there that producer Charlie's bringing, that music affects our moods and gets in our brains, determines the alchemy of how customers come back to places. There's this national company called Mood Media that works with companies on soundtrack, scents, signage. Studies have shown that the last 40 years that music makes people stay longer, eat more, drink more, spend more money. It enhances all of our desires to be a bigger and better consumer. So who's doing this really well on the local level?
For me?
For you, Steve.
One of my favorite spots is the Explorium Brew Pub.
Okay.
I sit there and I'm like, you know me. You get me. You understand me.
This is my personal soundtrack.
This is. I'll have another beer.
Yes. Is it easier for bars and restaurants to bring the music?
I think so.
I don't know.
You almost expect it there?
I think you expect music, but a lot of places it's just kind of lame.
Yeah.
They just put on some random Spotify playlist. And
right. And then when the conversation lulls, you're like, you tune into it and you're like, all right, it's not feeling it. I'm going to go to the next place.
Yeah.
You don't realize how impactful music is on people's moods. I mean, that sounds like a general statement that is obvious, but you don't really realize how music can put you in a mood. You look at something like, I mean, this isn't retail, but you look at like something like Star Wars with a symphonic soundtrack. Put in disco music, and boy, that's a different
music,
different movie.
Music connects not only people together, but music connects you to the thing you're doing.
Yeah.
In some way.
Food
if it's done right. Yeah.
Like, I think something like Blue is one of my, at the top of the Pfister Hotel, is one of probably my favorite bar ever. And they always have like a little jazz band there and just light jazz music. And it's like very different if there's like some DJ in there, you know, like mixing.
Yeah.
And so it's extremely important, especially in places like retail where you might want customers to slow down in a Kohl's and look at everything. You don't want to speed them up with really fast music versus like an Apple store. I mean, they're playing all the top hits, really quick music. Get in, buy your iPhone, and get out of our store.
And those stores are always so busy to begin with that you probably don't notice it. But when you step back and do notice it, you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
It's making my mind think quicker. I need to get in and out. I need to do my thing. But grocery stores look at it maybe a little differently. You look at like the Whole Foods or even Sendix around the area. They have this 80s and 90s vibe that, like we just played out of the break, the old school like Sister Hazel, Glass Tiger from the 80s and 90s, this Canadian rock band that has a couple big hits that if you're 25 or 55, you know, it gets in your head and suddenly you're spending 15 more minutes in the store.
Mm. That's me.
And that's what it's all about, bringing the design and the mood music to local retail, making us spend more time. I also really like the high-end design at like places like Colectivo and even like small bookstores, like a Boswell Books on Downer, where it's so cramped in there that you can't help but listen to the music and buy something because of the experience.
Right. Right. Your face. So you're talking about this, and I'm thinking, wow, you guys spend a lot of time at retail. I'm always in bars and restaurants.
Oh, I don't spend a lot of time in retail. I hate shopping.
Oh, that's right.
Cannot
you do.
Stand
yeah,
it. Pumping gas, shopping, and grocery shopping.
All right. Well, we do have one other retail item because I need your thoughts on places like CVS and Walgreens have attracted a bunch of buzz for locking up everything from toothpaste to deodorant to bar soap. But razors are kind of one of those items that are always locked up. We're going to get to the reason why.
Mm-hmm.
Conclude our conversation with Steve Glenn, Martin Moore, the future of almost everything. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined today, as always on Thursdays, by the good people.
Did you forget our names?
I'm like looking right across from you, and I'm like,
boy, it sounded like you forgot our names.
Martin Moore and Steve Glenn. We've been talking so much about soft skills and mood and music, and I'm like, whoa,
plus you're
welcome.
Looking,
like,
Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray.
Where are we?
Plus
what
you're looking for
on?
Something, so we were going to just let you have that uncomfortable moment.
Yeah. See, I appreciate the connection and
that's
the
what
friendship.
That's what friends do, yeah.
That's what we do to build community here on The Upswing.
Right on.
Like, who are we? All right, quickly. A couple of different topics I wanted to get to. How do you guys shave in the morning?
Sometimes? Yeah.
All the time?
I'm 43 years old, and I've struggled to grow a beard my entire life. It's pretty sketchy looking, but that being said, I can grow a wicked goatee, so I probably shave every 3 days, four days.
I think that's happened with changes in sort of work, casual workplace stuff. I had a hypothesis around people shaving less, and I found Gillette reported in 2019 that it is. That's a fact. 60% of American men were shaving less than 5 times a week compared to 40% just a few years before that.
Oh, wow. You remember your 18th birthday and you got that Mach 3?
Yes.
Oh, man, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Two things happen to men in the United States of America on their 18th birthday. They get a Mach 3 from Gillette.
And a checking account.
And then the government sends you a thing to sign up for the draft.
I'm a Gillette Labs guy, but they're always locked up at the CVS's and the Walgreens now. And that's because razors are being stolen at a high clip now because they're really easy to resell.
Right.
I only buy them from reputable sources. I'm not buying razors off of eBay or whatever. I shave my head every morning.
Do you really need
a good razor. Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
I need a good razor, and I depend upon it.
Sure.
But I'm not buying the stolen goods. So I appreciate that they're locked up. I'm okay with it. But I also understand that when you're locking up these items, they're adding additional costs to the retailers because it's more work.
Yeah.
It's more staff.
Yeah. And inconvenience for the customer.
Power. Yeah. And it kind of causes some bad vibes. What do you think about
I don't know if you've ever tried to get help
lock-ups
at a Walgreens.
Of razors. Yeah.
But you got to wait about 10,
you got to wait
minutes.
For a while. Yeah. Even if the buzzer's going off, they don't come.
All right. We got to do a quick giveaway here.
Let's do it.
All right. The Sherman family, as you know, we live in the North Shore of Milwaukee. So let's do a gift card giveaway to the Mineshaft Restaurant in either Hartford or Oshkosh. It's easy for us to get from Shorewood to Hartford. 35, 40 minutes gets the Sherman family out of the house, gets the kids away, out of the attic, away from the gaming systems that we have, and into the $2 million game systems, the $2 million game room at the Mineshaft. Mom and Dad can sit at the bar. We can sit at the table. We can have fun and enjoy the wonderful atmosphere at the historic Mineshaft. So let's give away a gift card to the Mineshaft Restaurant. Caller number, Steve?
11.
11 at 855-616-1620. Gets a gift card to the historic Mineshaft. And a friendly reminder that Thursdays, that's today, feature buy one, get one free pizza.
I've never wanted to go to the Mineshaft more. I seriously want. I want to go with you and your family.
Let's do that. The game room is amazing.
The fact that you take them away from games at your house and put them into a bigger gaming environment is just a yes. I'm in.
It's hard to do, you know, getting kids away, especially getting my son away from like NBA 2K that he plays with his friends consistently every night. But you go into an old school game room and an old school arcade.
Yeah.
It's super fun.
In the it's hard when you have kid or kids, it's more challenging to enjoy the time with your plus one when the kids are at the table, you know, asking for their phones. Let them go roam the place and have mm-hmm. some fun while you have a good conversation.
Yes, yes. And there's always good music playing there, too. What do you think about families in arcades? Is that a good business for, like, where's the local Dave and Buster's that's really doing well in Wisconsin?
Is there one? What's that arcade bar downtown that I've never been to it, but there's a big one downtown.
Yeah, there is.
Arcade?
But it's not. It's not catered towards families.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not. It's catered toward beer drinkers because they have a lot of beer on tap over there.
I think there's a lane there to open a new business to really kind of get back to the old school arcades, especially in some of the bigger suburbs.
Love it.
So let's put that on our list and make it happen for the next show.
Future of arcades?
The future of arcades and the future of gaming from a family lens.
Ooh, I'm a huge gamer. You're going to get a lot out of me. You're going to have to put a muzzle on me.
Oh, boy.
As always, I appreciate Steve Glenn and Martin Moore joining us for the future of almost everything. Fast Forward Wisconsin